Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying You Are Accepted. Know Who You Are in Christ, Part 1, based on the book Your Identity in Christ by Neil T. Anderson. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 1, verses 6 to 13. You are a member of God's family. What is your source of security and life? If your security is based on anything other than your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will continually be frustrated and disappointed, because people will let you down. Positions will pass from you, and possessions will lose their value. Only Jesus Christ is constant in changing situations. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last time we looked at our security in Christ being based on acceptance by God and not on acceptance by man. God showed us mercy and saved us when we didn't deserve it. But that's only the beginning. God made believers part of His family. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, unless one is born again. You see, a new birth is necessary to be a part of God's family. John introduces this right away in chapter 1. It's also interesting what he shares in the process. Three exhortations that are important for receiving him, for receiving truth. First, focus on the contents, not the container. Verses 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. John the Baptist is not the light. He is a witness to the light. So who is the light? Well, Jesus Christ. The witness points people to the Savior, and the Savior provides light to see the need for forgiveness. The vessel should not attract attention to itself, because the contents of the vessel are what matters. A cup of coffee. I care about the coffee, not the cup that holds it. It is natural to pay attention to the container and miss the contents. John the Baptist was a sight to behold. Mark chapter 1, verse 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He certainly attracted a lot of attention. How did John handle the attention he was suddenly getting? Well, look at John chapter 3, beginning with verse 22 down to verse 30. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let me ask you a question. Is that your attitude? Do people see less of you and more of Jesus? Don't miss the message because of a reaction to the messenger. Some of you may not like me all that much, but you know what I say? Get used to me. You have to spend eternity with me. Second, focus on the plan, not the perception. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. In Dickens' classic, Great Expectation, what Magwitch expected and what he actually received. What Pip expected and what he actually received. It was both cases, it was the opposite. We have expectations of how it will be. Jesus Christ created the world. Jesus Christ decided to enter his world. Jesus Christ received a stranger's welcome by his world. Why? Because the Savior didn't come as expected. And then third, focus on the relationship, not the religion. Verses 11 to 13. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus came to his own people, and they rejected him. And why? Because he upset their comfort zone. Rejection of Christ meant missing the new birth. Physical birth was created by God, but he used the will of man to do it. Spiritual birth was created by God as well, but he didn't use the will of man to do it. Faith was the vehicle to receive new birth. Not by natural causes, not by human choices, and not by blood of man's body, but solely by the power of God. There are two truths about the way things are seen. The way man sees, we look at the container, we look at the perception, and we look at the religion. The way God sees, he only looks at faith. It really is either or. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. God sees us as either in Christ or not in Christ. There are no other choices. There is no plan B. That makes it real easy on Judgment Day. If you were standing at heaven's gate and God asked you why he should let you in, what would you tell him? There's only one acceptable answer, that you are in Christ. Faith is followed by a new birth, an entrance into God's own family, permanently. So let's revisit for a moment the issue of rebirth. If I was kicked out of the earthly family I was born into, would I still be a son? Yes. Why? Because they can't undo the relationship. It's a blood relationship. As a child of God, is there anything that I could do to stop being related? No. Why? I'm born again spiritually. It's a blood relationship. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Will God ever leave me? No. The harmony of fellowship can be disrupted by my sin, just like a parent-child relationship. We're not saved by how we behave. We're saved by how we believe. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Knowing that we're children of God is critical. It's the basis of how we live our lives. That is not the way a son of mine should behave. Well, what about a child of God? How should he or she live? As a child of a heavenly father. Satan can say, what right do you have to call yourself God's child? God gave you that right. It was not earned, but was received by simple faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 again. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Our Father in heaven. If he's our Father, then we must be his children. Well, let me ask you, do you have this assurance? Settle it right now, right here. Let your security be in the truth that in Christ you are a child of the living God. And with it comes peace. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 down to verse 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You have a great day.